This is live from Studio A, and I am very happy to welcome to our studios today, to Studio C, actually, which is comfortably separated from the studio that I am in with a pane of glass. I always have to say that, Sarah, because I just want to make sure people know that, you know, we haven't just dropped all the restrictions here at KUMD. We're being very responsible.
Yes.
Sarah Kruger is here. She has a new project called Lanou. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me, Christine. It's nice to be here.
And the album just came out on Tuesday, I think, right?
It did, yeah.
But it was in the works for a while, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And I want to catch up with you and find out how you've been doing during the pandemic and what you've been doing musically. But why don't I have you start with a song? What do you want to start
sure.
with?
I'm going to start with a song called Mexico.
Thank you.
Let's go down to Mexico.
That is Sarah Kruger, a.k.a. Lanou, live from Studio A, and a song from the new self-titled album, Lanou. And that is a pretty wistful song these days.
Sure is, right?
Have you spent much time in Mexico?
You know what? I actually wrote that song in March while I was in Mexico for about a month or two, month and a half, a couple years ago. So, yeah, I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time there. I think that song comes from a place of yearning to get away, especially this time of year. And then, you know, how special it feels to come back home. And sometimes leaving home is just as much sparked by that feeling of returning, I think. So, yeah, that's where that song comes from.
And can I ask where in Mexico?
Spent some time in the Yucatan Peninsula.
Nice.
This last trip, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was in Oaxaca a year ago today. So
lovely. Yep.
And I've been going, like, that's been my winter getaway the last few years is to go somewhere in Mexico. And so when I heard that song, I'm like, oh, I wish I could go back.
Right.
but then I realized that you wrote this album long before the pandemic.
Sure.
So it's been in the works, but it's interesting how your mind interprets things through the lens of what we've been going through and how some of it still seems very apropos, even though it wasn't inspired by the pandemic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you find that as you're kind of singing and
thinking
about the songs?
I was just speaking with someone the other day in an interview, and the song I'm going to play next is called July, and he was saying, wow, this song sounds like the lyrics are inspired by what it's going to feel like to, you know, be on the other side of this pandemic experience, you know. And I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, you're right. The lyrics, like, coming up for air and making it through kind of a difficult situation and feeling that relief of being on the other side of that. But really, the song was written a couple years ago about swimming in Lake Superior, you know, so, but it takes on a new meaning. And I think that that's a cool thing about songs, you know, they come into your life and they can have a new meaning depending on where you're at. So,
and a lot of artists talk about how they want people to interpret them for themselves. And sometimes people don't even like to talk that much about what they're about. I always want to know what the artist had in mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Because for me, it helps expand my picture of it. But I do understand that perspective as well of, take what resonates with you from it.
Yep.
You know, that's the point of art, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just nosy. I just always want to know.
No, I know. I like the story behind songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Your last album was that you did under your name, Sarah Kruger, was Lustrous back in 2014, which when I first saw that, I'm like, oh, yeah, that wasn't long ago. And then I thought about it.
Right.
And I'm like, it is 2021.
I know.
So it's kind of a long time.
It sure is.
But even back then, you had some leftover songs from that album, I know. Did any of those make it onto this album?
No, those are kind of just lost in the ether. I wonder if they'll ever pop up again. This record is really a fresh batch of songs written well, you know, after Lustrous was released. So,
And they were done. You went back to your hometown of Eau Claire, and you worked with some incredible people. You've worked with a lot of these people before, though. Do you want to talk about some of the people that worked on the album?
Yeah, you know, it was a kind of a fun little mix of both Eau Claire, which is my hometown, and Duluth, which I really loved. So I had Steve Garrington helping me produce. You probably know him best for playing bass in the band Low.
You know, and I hate to embarrass Steve because he is a very he seems like a very the guy that doesn't like a lot of attention,
right?
But who is amazing and talented.
Yes.
So sometimes his name comes up on the show and we talk about how great he is, and then I think how mortified he would be
by
that.
I know.
But I mean, he is just such a multi-talented human and musician and producer, and so that's cool that you got to work with him.
Yep. So I had Steve there. JT Bates was playing drums, and
who is another, you know, secret weapon type guy. He plays with so many people, and
and just a great dude, you know, like, he's just such a good hang. I really wanted to bring people into the studio that I felt comfortable around and that I knew enjoyed each other's company, because I wanted to be intentional about the atmosphere I created being, you know, in such a sacred creative space. I think it's important that, you know, the people you bring in that are going to be working together creatively really gel together. So, yeah. So JT was there. He played drums on all the songs. Sean Carey, who you might know him from his work, S. Carey, and he drums with Bon Iver. And he played piano and guitar and kind of the jack of all trades, and also helped with some post-production. Gave a lot of these songs their final, shine, I would say. And Ben Lester was playing the pedal steel.
And now he's somebody you know from back in Eau Claire, right?
In Eau Claire, yep. And he plays with a lot of folks. He's great.
And pedal steel is just such a precious thing to have on an album, I think.
Yeah, it's
whenever
a really
I hear
special.
It, I think, oh, that's so great.
I know, it's a special instrument, and I want it to be intentional. One thing I love about Ben's playing is it doesn't automatically lump you into a country song, you know, which is great, and I love country music. But I like the pedal steel guitar because it's so warm. And it can make, you know, those layers really just like honey in there. And I don't necessarily want to be a country artist. You know, and sometimes when people hear the pedal steel, it's like, oh, this is a country song. But Ben has a nice way of playing to really, you know, sink into a lot of different genres, which I think is cool. And then it was recorded at Hive with Brian Joseph Engineering, and he did the mixing and also had a couple of friends play some things after. Ryan Young did some lovely string arrangements.
Yeah, I've noticed some of the nice fiddle on there.
He just has so much feel when he's playing. And then Eric Koskinen played some guitar on some of the tracks too. So, yeah, good crew.
Yeah, just definitely heavy hitters involved. And people of the caliber where when you come into the studio with your ideas, I imagine that you can just say what you want and they just figure it out.
Yeah, right.
And you don't have to.
Exactly. And I love that because there's not a lot of overthinking. And I think a song can really show itself and unveil itself if you don't do too much tampering with it. And, you know, those guys are so good at what they do that it's just, it's natural, right? And there's not too much thought behind it. It just feels like a really natural unfolding. And that's more my style. I like that. And, you know, they didn't hear any of the songs before we went in, and we'd play them through a couple times and get a take out of those few times playing. And that felt good to me. Then I didn't have to go back and listen and overthink and record a song over and over again. They were just able to let it all unfold. So
I think that's a nice thing that comes with age, is just being able to not be so self-conscious about things. Is that do you think?
Absolutely.
And to just be able to let go.
Yep.
And not try to work something to death.
Yep. I feel more confident in myself. And that has, it's nice because it's allowed me to, not be so critical, you know, and just really be soft with my delivery and let kind of those more tender parts of my voice come out. And I feel good about it. I still like the songs, and we recorded them a couple years ago now, you know.
That's always a thing. When I have artists in here, often if they're putting out an album, they are, you know, they're still engaged with the material, but they're kind of ready for the next thing.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
So at the end I'm going to be asking you what you're working on now, because I bet you've been working on something else. You mentioned, you know, bringing out the tender parts of your voice, and that just made me think about your singing. Is singing, and we might have talked about this before, but I don't remember, you've been in here so many darn times, which is great. Was singing the first thing that you started doing musically?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up singing. I've never really learned to read music. I don't know music theory. I wish I would have learned those things at a young age. But for me, singing really is my instrument. You know, I play the guitar and piano to write songs on, and they feel like, you know, great support for songwriting. And that's kind of as far as I'm interested in taking those instruments. And I really just like to focus on having the songs come through in my voice.
And how have you kind of developed that through the years? Is there have you done anything intentionally, or do you just kind of naturally keep working on what feels right for what songs you're doing?
Yeah, good question. I really think I've just gotten better at listening to what I like in my own voice when I hear it recorded, and doing more of that. And then also listening to what moves me when I hear other people sing. I grew up over singing. I grew up sitting in front of my CD player, like listening to Mariah Carey and singing blues songs. And that's great. I love that, you know, that style of singing, but I don't love how that comes through in my recordings. So I try and just be a little softer, and I like how it turned out in this record. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice. And Brian, who did the engineering, is just good at capturing sounds. I think he did a nice job just capturing me at my quietest, and that comes through, I think, so.
Nice. Yeah. Well, let's hear another song. You said, sure. Did you want to do July?
Yeah, I'm going to play July, yeah.
Folded in golden, falling in blue, and baby's got a brand new pair of jeans. Don't you remember when it was white and cold? Pushing the demons into the sunlight. Couldn't see the walls behind the leaves. All I see is blue and dirt.
That is Lanou, live from Studio A, a.k.a. Sarah Kruger, and a song called July from her new self-titled album, Lanou. And I haven't even asked you yet about that name. I know it came from a poem.
Yeah. I recorded these songs, and was kind of getting ready to release them or think about releasing them, and the pandemic hit, of course. Everything went on hold. And during that time, I was kind of feeling like I was really just feeling disconnected from my previous work. I think it had been so long since I released music. And this felt like to me personally, was standing kind of on new creative ground. And so much can change in 7 years in terms of where I'm at wanting to release music. And so, yeah, you know, this poem is actually titled Lanoue, and it was in a collection of poems in a book that had been in my collection and around my house all of my adult years, I'd say. And every time I'd come back to that book, that poem really stuck out to me. And maybe every couple of years I'd open the book up again and page through it and come back to that poem. And I realized it always took on a new meaning. You know, at first I thought it was just a beautiful, flowery love poem. And then, you know, then I started to think maybe it was about the moon and all these other metaphorical, you know, comparisons were coming out as years passed. And I really like latched onto that idea of a text changing over time as you change, kind of like what we were talking about earlier with a song. Wherever you're at, it might mean something different. So that's where I got the name from. I put the two words together and turned it into one, and it felt like a fitting time for me personally to kind of have a new trajectory with my music and my creative projects. So, yeah.
Well, and I think it was in your interview with the Duluth News Tribune that I saw you said, you know, it was kind of nice to have a separation between your creative, you know, mm-hmm. persona and then your personal persona.
Yeah, and that's true. It's like, you know, my day-to-day life, I'm under Sarah Kruger, you know, I think I said in that interview, that's like what I pay my mortgage payment with.
Right.
So, you know,
I
just like do all the mundane life things. It can feel good to separate yourself from that when you're working on something creative.
I love that because, you know, that it's so true. Like, mm-hmm. even the biggest stars had to take care of some of those mundane things.
Yeah.
And we don't want to think about them, you know, shuffling around their house in their pajamas and slippers. We want to think of them as these, you know, people on stage, and to have that kind of separation is kind of funny, or kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah, I agree.
There is that separation already, but you're just like defining it, making a line for yourself.
Yeah,
that's my interpretation anyway. One more thing I wanted to ask you about making the album, because in listening back to our session from when you did Lustrous, that one you kind of did in pieces when you had time to get in the studio. Did you do this in one chunk in the studio?
I did it in two separate chunks with the same crew both times. Fall, November of 2018, we recorded maybe four of the songs, and then June of 2019, so then the winter passed, and June of 2019, we got back into the studio and recorded the rest of the songs. That to me felt more congruent about that experience was just the fact that it was the same people still on the same creative trajectory, I think. And then the finishing of all the songs, when I sent them to Sean Carey, he did a lot of post-production work that I think really laced the songs together and made it gel into an album. And I know it's interesting because as I've finally gotten to that point where I feel like, I like how this is sounding and came together as a full album, is maybe the time where in, you know, the history of listening to music, people don't really listen to full albums anymore. Some do, but many don't. They listen to songs separate from each other.
Well, those people are wrong.
I know. As a
middle-aged person, yeah. I would like to say those people are wrong.
I agree. I mean, would you watch a movie and just watch like 20 minutes of it? It just doesn't make sense, right?
Well, now I'm imagining, what if movies were made so that they could be broken up into these little short chunks, and how odd would that be? And don't do that. Whoever's listening, that's not a good idea. Don't do it.
It's kind of like watching a sitcom, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, or reading just one chapter of a book and reading them out of order. You can kind of get the idea, but it doesn't come into that, you know, full contextual meaning. And I think, you know, an album can do that, and it can bring more meaning to each song, and it can bring more meaning to your experience listening to it. And so, yeah, I like the song still, and I think they come together nicely as an album. If you're the type of person that maybe doesn't listen to albums, you know, put on some headphones and take a long walk and listen to a record full through, or drive in your car and listen to a full album, and see how that might kind of change your perspective on listening to music these days. I don't know. I think it's a special thing.
I think that's a great advice, and something I don't find myself doing enough. And when I take that time, it just is so beneficial.
Yeah, it feels like self-care. I mean, I was doing that the other day. I'm like, I'm going to go for a walk and just pick a new album that I'm drawn to and listen to it. And I felt like it felt like a form of self-care. I know that's really big these days, you know, people talking about how to maintain their self-care, but that's a good one. You're connecting with yourself and the surroundings around you in a new way, and special.
Yeah, and you're having a concentrated amount of time, as opposed to, I just feel like everything is so fragmented.
Absolutely, yeah.
With the internet and, you know, just my attention span, I can only speak for myself, has just been so fragmented, and I need things that pull me back into kind of that experience.
Yeah, I agree.
So how have things been for you during the pandemic, personally and music-wise?
You know, they've been good, Christine. I feel grateful. I mean, I have a home and food on the table, and I have been able to find some creative, you know, drive. I know it's been a whole year of the pandemic, and some people say, like, they just can't get their creative juices flowing. But I felt like, you know, I've been writing, and I feel inspired, and I feel good. So yeah, I'm in a good place.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Have you done any shows? I'm trying to remember if I've seen. I think I mentioned this last time. I keep forgetting that there was like whole summer where people could do outdoor shows,
right,
and that there was music happening.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Have you done anything, whether it's virtual or outside? Or
yeah, no, I haven't. You know, in this, I'm still not at a place where I feel too comfortable being around people. And I will be soon. You know, the vaccines are rolling out and it'll start to feel better. But this summer I did go to a couple shows, but I didn't play any. And I haven't felt moved to do any live stream stuff. I don't feel inspired to. You know, it kind of makes me feel more sad, I think, than anything. And it makes me miss everybody. So I'm just kind of waiting for the end of this, and we can hopefully all be together. I have a gig booked in August, which is a half a year away, but it's on the radar, and that feels good.
Awesome. So, and that's so great to have something to look forward to. Is that local or is that elsewhere?
Yeah, local. Oh, yes. Outside and local. Yeah.
All right. So. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be great when we actually, I'm kind of like you, where I've been a little bit cautious, and So having the opportunity to look forward to that once more people get vaccinated and things loosen up a bit. And it's been so exciting to be able to do this safely and have people actually in the studio. I can see you through a pane of glass safely.
Yeah.
And it's really, really nice. Well, what do you want to wrap up with here? We have time for one more song.
All right. I'm going to play What I Love the Most, which you can find a video for this online if anyone's still into music videos or likes their little visual tidbit that goes along with a song. This one will make you feel warm, I think. So, can be so callous, it can let you down real slow, but tonight we'll sit out in the garden, singing with the crows. I'll find you at the river, bowing to the shore, your hands under the water, what I love the most. Some days I'm a murderer, some days I'm a ghost. Some days I spend all my time hating what I love the most, what I love the most, what I love. Underneath the rich light, hanging from the sky, I saw velvet lining behind your champagne eyes. Some days I'm a martyr, some days I'm a ghost. Some days I spend all my time hating what I love the most. Some days I'm a
is Lanou, a.k.a. Sarah Kruger, live from Studio A, and another song. And this is for the people that like singles, right?
Yeah,
this was
sure.
This was the first single off the album, I think, right?
Yes.
What I Love the Most. And this is another song where the lyrics, I think, really are fitting with the place some people are in it right now. Some days I'm a martyr. Some days I'm a ghost. Some days I spend all my time hating what I love the most.
Right.
I'm like, yes, I have had those days during the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah, it's so true. And it can be on a small scale or a large scale, you know. It's kind of about resentment and, like, finding when, you know, recognizing when you're feeling these feelings of resentment towards something you love and eradicating that and getting rid of it and remembering that you really love this thing, whether it's, you know, planting your garden or your relationship or your job. A friend the other day was, you know, she's like, this song really resonated with me as a mother. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense too, you know.
Beautiful. Yes, I can see that. Another line that I really like from a different song, Something Sacred, you say, I've been told 1,000 times just what I should like.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, it seems like trying to find your own voice.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, that's what I took from that. Is like,
yeah, that's, you're right. You know, and that song's, that's what that's about, Christine. It's really about what moves each of us individually in terms of art, you know, music and movies and photography and painting and what makes it work on us. And it's each of our individual experiences lead us to such a different place. And we're so often told, you know, by kind of gatekeepers or tastemakers, you know, what's good. And I think now more than ever, I'm feeling like, okay, it's really important to, like, just really tune into what works for you and what moves you. Because, you know, right now, I think more than ever, connecting with something that moves you in a way that feels good is really important, you know?
Yeah, and not, sometimes we're socialized, I think, to defer to people that we feel like know more than we
mm-hmm.
do, you know?
Absolutely.
And we have to trust our own
yep.
opinions and voices, and sometimes that can take a while to develop that.
Yeah, it takes a long time. It always changes, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so listening to yourself and your own confidence in what you think is good and what you like.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with it, you know.
Wonderful. So before we wrap up here, I just want to make sure that we let people know where they can. Okay, so do you have a website for Lanou?
Yeah, lanoumusic.com.
And that's Lanoue.
You got it.
In case people at home are wondering.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are on Bandcamp under mm-hmm. Lanou. The album is available.
It sure is, yeah. And it's Bandcamp Friday. And for
oh,
those that don't know, Bandcamp Friday is, you know, they've done this great thing throughout the pandemic where artists will get 100% of their sales without Bandcamp taking any cut. And that's a huge thing for musicians to stay in this day and age because, you know, streaming is pennies to the dollar. So, yeah, you can buy any record on Bandcamp today or song and be fully supporting the artists, which is cool.
And I meant to ask you about this, too, because I think I saw you post about this. There's some fun packaging. I don't know if packaging is the right word, but fun things to accompany the album if people buy it digitally.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of us are used to having something physical with our music. And so you in conjunction with your friend Jordan Taylor, is he from Eau Claire originally?
He's not. He's a Hutchinson guy, but we met our freshman year of college. We were in a band together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you've been great friends. And
yes.
He was in Two Beat Band and a bunch of other stuff.
Yep. And we were Heavy J and the Fantastics in 2007, 2008, those years. Yeah.
And is he down in the Twin Cities
now?
And
he's in the cities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I always wonder about, because he's so talented. So
yeah, he's
great. I was wondering what he's up to. But anyway, so he helped you. Obviously, he's talented in more ways than one. So
yeah.
He worked on the packaging part.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a graphic designer and he's I've always trusted his eye. But, you know, during the pandemic, I couldn't decide if I should make CDs or press vinyl. And without shows happening, I just decided it wasn't the right move. But I really wanted, you know, people to be able to hold on to something or have something for their collection that felt like an artifact, you know, that you can have in your hands and hold. And I think for me, you know, growing up, that was a huge part of my music listening experience. And it still is. But people just, you know, they don't really buy CDs anymore or want them. But yeah, if you want to buy the record and you want something physical to go along with it, it's a cool little like lyric booklet, and it has photos of our time in the studio and different visuals that really go along, I think, with this project that have inspired me, I guess, while writing these songs and bringing this music to you. So.
And you can find all that on her Bandcamp.
Yep.
Under Lenu. And yeah, there's some pictures there, it looks like. And we should also give a shout out to Wolf Skull.
Oh yeah.
Creative.
Wolf Skull Creative. Michelle Bennett. Yeah. So she took the album cover photo in my garden. And she's a great photographer, so.
She is. I got a photo of you that she did from at a silent auction.
Oh, nice.
But it feels weird to have pictures of people that you actually know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
So I'm thinking about hanging it up in the station here somewhere.
Oh, that's amazing.
So if you walk in someday and you see your face on the wall.
Oh, I like that.
That's nice. Why. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. That's cute. I like that. I know. I at her photo show, I was like, is anyone going to buy a picture of me? Yeah, but thank you. That's nice to support
I guess
her.
It's part of being. Yeah. Well, and now with Lenu, you can be like, well, that's Lenu.
Right. Exactly.
That's my persona.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. This has been just wonderful to catch up with you.
Thank you, Christine.
The album is lovely, and thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And when you have shows, we will be sure to let people know.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.